The fourth parak deals with various issues when an animal that has shechita is pregnant and related issues as well. And as we will see, we'll talk about what happens when that shechita happens when the mother is pregnant. So we'll see in Mishnah Hay that you can actually eat the baby without doing a shechita because the shechita of the mother will suffice on that baby. But we're going to get into various complexities in that regard. For example, Mishnah Aleph says as follows, how about when that mother is having a difficulty giving birth and meanwhile her ubar, which is the fetus inside, sticks out a limb? Or we'll see in a little bit after that, how about if it sticks out his head? Will the shechita on that mother still suffice or not? So Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Behema mekasha leilet, if we have the mother, for example, a cow is having a difficult time in labor, and meanwhile, the hotzi ha'ubar es yada vehechzira, the ubar, which is the fetus, stuck out its leg, its front leg, and then it brought it back in, so there's nothing sticking out at the time, and then they did shechita on the mother, mutar ba'achila, the fetus is mutar ba'achila. However, doesn't say it in the Mishnah, but the Gemara explains that leg that came out is asr ba'achila. It's considered something called basar shiatzal chutz l'mechitza, so it's meat that was out of its proper place, so it is asr like a trefa. So that limb that came out, even though it came back in time for the shechita, it doesn't matter, it's treated like a trefa, but the rest of the uber that never left, that is mutter by itself, and it doesn't need a shechita as well, because the shechita of the mother will suffice. On the other hand, hosi es rosho, if that animal, the ubar, stuck its head out, afa pi shechziro, even though it put the head back in place in time for shechita, so the shechita happened and the entire fetus was back inside of it, harezik kayalo, this is considered, it is treated as if it is born. What does that mean? So the Bar Tanura says as follows, that because it stuck its head out, even though the head is back in time for the shechita, but the shechita of the mother will not suffice. If it is alive, it requires, that fetus requires when born, it requires its own shechita, because once it had stuck its head out, even though it came back in time for shechita, the mother will not suffice, it requires its own shechita. However, if they find it that it was dead, when it came out, when they took the fetus out, hareu kenevela, it's treated like a nevela. Nevela, kosher animal, did not have a proper shechita, that it even is metame, as opposed to a trefa that doesn't cause her to be tuma, and nevela does. Continuing, if we have that uba, we have that fetus inside the mother, and somebody reaches in his or her hand and chotech mu'uba shebemeecha and cuts off various pieces, limbs of that fetus, it's on the inside, and leaves them on the inside, and the shechita happens. So everything is inside when the shechita happens. So then continuing, mutar ba'achila, that ubar, that fetus is going to be permitted, and everything else that is on the inside as well. Even those detached limbs are going to be permitted ba'achila. It's not going to require its own shechita, and they were not on the outside, so they're not treated as a trefa. However, if that person that reached his or her hands in and cut off, instead of cutting off from the uber, from the fetus, he cuts off limbs from the live mother, or even if it's not giving a birth, just from an animal, min hatachula, min aklayas, cuts off from the spleen, for example, or from the kidneys, and it stays in, those limbs stay inside, and then the shechita is there afterward. Those items, even though they stayed inside, are going to be asr b'achila, you're not going to be able permitted to eat those items. Why? Zehaklal, this is the general principle, davar shu gufa asur, items that were part of the mother, that were cut off, even though they stayed inside and they were for the shechita, they're going to be prohibited. Sheina gufa, however, items that were not part of her body, but were the parts of the fetus, and they were cut off and stayed inside. They did not come outside, and they were there in time for the shechita still. Those are going to be mutter. Those are going to be permitted to be eaten. Mishnah Beis continues discussing a pregnant animal that is having a difficult time in labor, but specifically here, it is a bechor that she is giving birth to. And a bechor is the firstborn of a male goat, cow, or sheep. It is sacred, but important for our Mishnah, critical for our Mishnah, is that it is only sacred upon birth. The Pasuk says, Ashe Yivaled, when it is born, that is when it is sacred, and it must be brought and given as a korban to be eaten by the Kohanim. But before birth or even partial birth, a minority of the animal has come out, but not the majority, it is still not considered a bechor. It is not sanctified. Mishnah basis as follows. Hamevakeres, hamekashe leilet. Hamevakeres is an animal that is giving birth to a bechor, but is having a difficult time doing so, difficult time in labor. Mechatech eiver eiver umashlik laklavim. If only a small part, different limbs are coming out, you can cut them off and give them, literally throw them to the dogs. There's no kedusha to them because it never had the status of a bechor because the majority has not come out. So you can cut it piece by piece as it's coming out and give it to the dogs. That's not violating the holiness. However, yatsa rubo, if the majority of it came out together and you haven't cut any away and given it to the dogs, so there you have it. The majority has come out of the mother, hareza yikaver. At that point, if you would cut any of it, then it has the kedusha of the bechor. It would have to be buried because it is asur bahana. You can have benefit from it. But in either case, whether we're talking about the first scenario that you were cutting little by little as it came out, that you were allowed to give it to the dogs, or the second scenario that the majority came out and here it has the kedusha of a bechor and you're not allowed to cut it off anymore and to give it to the dogs. Either way, the niftara mina bechora, the mother having been pregnant with this child, either way we treat it as she does not have to give for the next animal that comes out. It's not going to be a bechor. The pasuk says peterechem, the firstborn is going to be a bechor, and even if we cut it piece by piece as it came out, or even if the majority came out together as a bechor and then it was cut, it doesn't matter. That mother is pater ptura from having to, or the owner of that mother is pater from giving a further bechor from that mother. Mishnah Gimel requires a couple of important points. Number one, typically when we have an animal that dies without a shechita, it is a nevela and it will convey tuma on the person who touches it or who carries it. That is point number one. That is a nevela. Point number two, as we saw in Mishnah Aleph, and we'll see also in Mishnah Hay, that if we have a baby inside the mother still, we have a fetus in the mother, that the shechita of the mother is effective for that fetus as well. So you don't need shechita on that fetus. So we're going to learn out from that concept, not explicitly in our Mishnah, but it's going to be implicit in the Mishnah and learned out in the Gemara, that if the shechita can be effective not only for the mother but for the fetus as well, certainly, kal vachomer, the fetus inside the mother is going to keep that fetus. When that fetus dies, if that fetus dies inside the mother, that fetus will not convey tuma. So that fetus will not have the status of a nevela as long as it's in the mother, but rather, because a nevela conveys tuma, but it will remain simply part of the mother effectively, that if somebody would reach in and touch that animal, it would not convey tuma, just like the live mother does not convey tuma. So Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Behema Shemes, Ubara Besoch Me'eya. If we have an animal that it's Ubar, the fetus passed away while still inside the uterus, and somebody, Vahoshit Haroa Es Yadov Nagabo, and here the shepherd, somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, puts his hand inside while that ubar, the fetus, is inside and touches it. So we may think that that's like touching an avela, and the person touching that dead fetus would become tamei. That's not the case. Bein behema tameya, bein behema tamora. Whether that is a treif animal, for example, it's the fetus of a horse that he's touching inside a horse, a mother horse, or if it's a kosher animal, for example, he's touching the fetus, the dead fetus of a calf inside the cow. Either way, it is going to be tahor. That person will not become tameh because the fetus is still part of the live mother. And just like the live mother does not convey tuma, the dead fetus inside of it will not convey tuma. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, he has a different take. He disagrees in part. He says as follows, B'tameya tameh, if it is a treif animal that is being touched from the outside, then the person touching it is going to be tameh. Why? Because there's no concept when it comes to a treif animal of the fetus being considered part of the animal. Why is that? Because there's no shechita when it comes to a treif animal. So we can't learn from shechita like we did with the kosher animal, that just like the shechita is effective on the mother, so it's effective for the fetus inside. So too, when the mother is alive, it's going to keep the fetus from becoming, conveying tumah. That doesn't exist when it comes to a treif animal, because there's no shechita on a treif animal. So accordingly, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is telling us that when that fetus is of a treif animal, it's inside the treif animal, if somebody reaches in and touches it, that person will become tameh. On the other hand, he does agree in part, Ubitora Tara, he agrees with the concept that if it's a kosher animal and somebody touches it from the outside, that live mother will keep that dead fetus from conveying tumah because it's a kosher animal. Now we're actually going to talk not about animals, but a mother, a human. Ha'isha shemes vlada besoch me'ea. Now we have a mother who unfortunately her fetus passed away in utero, in the womb. And now we have a similar scenario, Pashta Chaya es Yada v'nagabo, and we have the Chaya, which is the doula, the person who is helping the birth, the midwife. She reaches in her hand and touches the dead fetus inside. So on a d'oraisa level, truth be told, just like a kosher animal, the animal is considered part of the mother, the fetus is part of the mother, so to hear with the human, that fetus, although it is passed away, it is considered part of the mother. And just like the live mother doesn't convey tumah, so too the fetus does. But Chazal instituted that the person touching it from the outside would become tamei. It says, as chachaya tamei tumah shiva. We do on a rabbinic level treat that midwife as tamei, as if she touched a dead body. If somebody touches a dead body, that is a tumah for 7 days, and you have to be metahir with the ash of the para duma. There's a process that we don't have nowadays. And the reason for this that Chazal instituted there's a tumah is because if that baby's head came out, as we saw before, if the baby's head came out, it's as if that baby is born. And we're concerned that that midwife simply didn't realize that the baby's head came out and went back in. And if that were the case, the tumah of that midwife reaching in and touching that dead fetus would be a d'oraisa. So accordingly, Chazal instituted that in all situations, even if the head hadn't come out, nonetheless, there's going to be a rabbinic tumah for somebody who reaches in and touches a dead fetus inside of the mother. Now, on the other hand, va'isha tahora ad sheyetzeh avlad, the woman is not going to be tmeya. There was no gezeira of Chazal that she would be tmeya as well. She is going to be tahora until the fetus passes, that dead fetus passes. And the reason that we're not concerned that the head may have come out and she should be tamei also, we should be gozer, tuma on her as well, we're not concerned about that because she's the mother. She can tell if the head had come out or not, so we don't have the same concern as if the midwife reaches in, that maybe the midwife didn't realize that the head came out, and indeed there would be a tumah d'oraisa on the midwife. So because we don't share that concern, because the mother would know if the head came out or not, she's not going to become tameya until the fetus actually comes out, and then you have that contact with the fetus. It's now no longer considered part of her, and now she would become tameya. Mishnah Dalet is going to get us back to the main topic of this parak, talking about an animal that is having a difficult time giving birth and a limb of the fetus comes on out. So we're going to distinguish now between two sets of scenarios, and it's going to depend on the order of the events that occur. So scenario number one is going to be that that mother is trying to give birth and the fetus sticks out a foreleg. So that is sticking out of the foreleg. And then only thereafter, step number two, is somebody comes and cuts off that foreleg that is sticking out of the mother. And step number three is that shechita is done on the mother. So again, leg is stuck out, it's cut off, and then shechita is done on the mother. And what we'll see in our Mishnah is that the ubar, which is the fetus on the inside, is going to be tahor. It will not have the status of an avela, that it can be metame other things. On the other hand, because that aver, that limb, was cut off before the shechita, that aver itself is considered aver minachai, a limb that is removed from a live animal. And accordingly, it is metame, like an avela. An avela does make other things tame, so it will cause her to be tuma. And that's going to be scenario number one, because the shechita is not going to be effective for the limb that was caught off before. So that's why important the order is, the limb comes out, it's cut off, and then the shechita is not going to be effective for that limb. It's not going to be effective whatsoever on that limb, but it will be effective for the fetus inside because the fetus is still considered part of the mother. On the other hand, we're going to see the second scenario. We're going to swap steps number 2 and 3. So again, we're going to start with step number 1, that the fetus is going to stick its leg out, but there afterward is going to be the shechita on the mother while that limb is still sticking out. And thereafterward, step number 3, is somebody is going to come and cut that limb off. So let's start with scenario number 1, and then we'll distinguish between the two scenarios. So scenario number 1, Mishnah Dalet says as follows, HaBehema, HaMikasha Leilat. We have this mother who has a difficult time in labor, and step number 1 happens, Vahotzi Ubras Yada. That ubar, that fetus, sticks its fore leg out. And step number 2, v'chatacha, somebody comes and cuts it off. V'acharkach shacha es imo, and there are afterwards, step number 3, the shechita on the mother, habasar, which is referring to the fetus, tahor, is going to be tar, it's going to be kosher, it's going to be tar, it's not going to be able to be metame like an avela. However, on the other hand, the limb that was cut off before the shechita is going to be evra min achai, and it's going to be metame tumas nevela. Now we're going to start scenario number 2. We're going to start out, step number 1 happened, the leg was stuck out from the mother who was having a difficult time giving birth. And then step number 2, this time is shachat es imo. We have the shechita done on the mother, and only thereafterward is step number 3, vacharka chatacha. Somebody comes and cuts off that limb. Now we are going to have an important machlokes. So shechita number 1, and this is habasar, the meat, which is referring to the meat of the fetus. So even though that meat in the fetus is still inside the mother, habasar maga nevela, it is as if it is touching something which is a nevela. And what that means is because it is cut off, first came the shechita, and thereafterward that limb was cut off. When that limb on the outside was cut off, it has the status of a nevela. And accordingly, when it was cut off, we look at it as if it touched the fetus on the inside. And because the shechita of the mother happened earlier, and now we're having this scenario of cutting off the limb and that limb on the outside touching the fetus on the inside, it's as if that fetus on the inside is touching an avela. That's why it says maga nevela. And just like that limb is on the outside is tame, it has the status of an avela, so too the fetus now becomes tame, and it can be metame as an avela, divrei Rebbe Meir. That is the opinion of Rebbe Meir. V'chachamim omrim, chachamim disagree. They are of the view that when we have this scenario, even though the shechita of the mother happened first and then cutting off the limb, that limb, it's not as if the ubar, the fetus on the inside, was touching that limb on the outside, which has the status of a nevela, but rather it's as if it's touching a trefa. That's why Chachamim Omri Maga Trefa Shchuta. It's if you are touching a trefa that is shchuta. What is a trefa that's shchuta? So if you have an animal, and we've discussed it earlier in a masechta, that is a trefa, for example, it has an internal wound, an internal injury, it has a kosher shchita. But thereafterward, you find that it has that fatal injury inside of it. It's not going to be kosher to be eaten. However, because it had a kosher shechita, that shechita removes it from being a nevela. A nevela, which can be metame or other things, and it's going to put it in the status of a trefa, which cannot be metame, things like a nevela. So to hear Chachamim are saying, when we had the shechita of the mother, and thereafterward somebody comes and cuts off that limb that was sticking out, that limb has a status of a trefa, because the shechita of the mother is going to be effective to take it out of being an avela and put it into the camp of being a trefa. And accordingly, when that limb on the outside comes in contact with that ubar on the inside, the fetus on the inside, that fetus on the inside is touching effectively something that is a trefa, which is not mitame, it's not touching an avela, and accordingly the fetus on the inside does not become tame. And now Chachamim are going to explain why they are of the view that that limb on the outside that was cut off has the status of a trefa and not an avela. Ma matzinu, what do we find when it comes to a trefa, betrefa sheshchita samitarata? Just like when we have an ordinary animal, that's a trefa. that when somebody does a shechita on a trefa, it had internal wounds. We find out afterward it had internal injuries, that the shechita takes it out of being a nevela and puts it in the camp of being a trefa, so it's not mitame. Av shechitas behema titaher esa aver. So too, when we have the shechita on the mother, the shechita was done on the mother previously, so accordingly, that takes the entire fetus, including the protruding limb, including that limb that's sticking out, it takes it out of the status of an avela and puts it into the status of a trefa, such that it cannot be metame. So we had a shechita on this animal, even though the shechita happened before the cutting off of the limb. But that actually, that's what's affected, because we had the shechita and then the cutting off of the limb thereafterward. The shechita made it that limb, even though it was sticking out, but it made it as if this is no longer a trefa, it is an avela. And accordingly, when that limb is cut off and it touches the uber, it touches the fetus on the inside, it's not metame yet. So now Rabbi Meir responds. Amar lem Rabbi Meir, la, you cannot equate the normal shechita on an animal. When you have a shechita on an animal, a kosher shechita on an animal, it removes it from a nevela to a trefa. That makes sense because the shechita is on the animal itself. But you cannot learn from that that because you do a shechita on the mother, that is going to take the limb of the fetus that is sticking out, that it's going to take it out of being from a nevela and put it as a trefa. There's no parallel between these two cases. The shechita on an animal itself that removes it from a nevela is on the animal itself. But here in our situation, the shechita is on the mother. That's not going to help that protruding limb of the fetus to take it out of being a nevela. So that's what Rabbi Meir responds back. Amar lem Rabbi Meir, lo, im tihiyara shechitas trefa osa davar shebegufa. When it comes to a normal shechita on an animal of a trefa, you find out it's a trefa animal afterward, you're doing the shechita on the animal itself, that's why it removes it from being a nevela. Tetaher es haever davar sheina gufa. If you want to argue that having a shechita on the animal itself, on the mother itself, is going to remove the protruding limb of the fetus from being tame, can't be. I disagree, says Rabbi Meir, and that's why that protruding limb, the shechita is not effective on it. It has a status of a nevela, and accordingly, when you cut off that limb on the outside and it's touching the uber on the inside, the fetus on the inside, it is metame it as well. Okay, that's the end of the machlokes. Now we're getting into a discussion that both Chachamim and Rabbi Meir would agree with. Minayin letrefa sheshchita same taharata. Where do we know, getting back to a treif animal, which we've been discussing, that when you have an animal, you do a shechita on it, it's a kosher shechita, it removes it from a nevela, it's not mitame nevela, it is now a trefa. If you find an internal wound, it's a trefa and it's not mitame. Where do we learn that a shechita indeed on a trefa takes it out of being a nevela and it cannot be mitame? So it goes as follows. We're going to make an attempt to make a limud, and then we're going to refute that limud, and we're going to have a second limud. As follows, behema tmeya asura ba'achila. We're going to learn from a behema tmeya. When the Mishnah here says tmeya and elsewhere, tmeya means a non-kosher animal. So when it comes to a non-kosher animal, you're not allowed to eat it. You can't eat a non-kosher animal. It's treif. And so too, af treifa asura ba'achila. And the same thing applies when we have an animal that's kosher. We do a kosher shechita, but it turns out that it's a trefa. You also are not allowed to eat a trefa. So that's the parallel between the two. Just like when it comes to non-kosher animal, it can't be eaten. A kosher animal that's a trefa also cannot be eaten. So we see that there's a parallel, and we're going to learn the halachas from a trefa, from a behema tmeya. We're going to learn from a trefa, a kosher animal that's a trefa, from a non-kosher animal as follows. Ma behema tmeya. Just like when it comes to a non-kosher animal, shechita is not going to be mitaharet. In other words, the shechita is not going to make it kosher. It's still treif. And accordingly, the shechita is not going to take it out of being an avela. It's still going to be an avela. So when you have a non-kosher animal, you do a shechita on it, it's still an avela. The same thing applies. Av treifa lo taharena shechitasa. Same thing applies when you have a kosher animal that turns out to be shechita, and you do that shechita on that animal, it's not going to be mitaret. It's still going to maintain its status of a nevela. So that's what we're going to learn. We're going to learn our issue of a trefa, a kosher animal from a trefa, from a non-kosher animal. Just like a non-kosher animal is treif, you can't eat the meat, so too a trefa, a kosher animal that turns out to be trefa, you can't eat the meat. And accordingly, we're going to learn another thing. Just like when you do the shechita on the non-kosher animal, it doesn't make it kosher. It's still an avela. It's still metame. So too, when you do a shechita on a trefa, it's still going to be an avela. No, law says the Mishnah. That's not a good parallel. Why? These cases are very different. Because when it comes to non-kosher animal, it was always non-kosher. It was non-kosher from birth. And accordingly, of course, a shechita is not going to help something that was always treif. You can't be mataret, you can't be machshiret if it was always treif. But that is not parallel to the case of a kosher animal that became a trefa later on. There was a time that was a kosher animal. It didn't have the status of a trefa. So accordingly, it could very well be that a shechita would be effective to remove the nevela status from that animal. So that's what it says. Now, la ima marta bebehema temeya. If you want to say it by a non-kosher animal, that shechita is not going to be effective, okay, shelo ha'isa lashas kosher, if it was born non-kosher, it would never have had a time that it was kosher. And accordingly, the shechita is not going to be effective whatsoever. You cannot say the same thing when it becomes a kosher animal that's a trefa. Tomar b'trefa, shaita lashas kosher. You want to say the same thing when it comes to a kosher animal that's a trefa? It had a time that it was kosher. And accordingly, because of that, even though it's now a trefa, but because there was a time it wasn't a trefa, the shechita should be effective to remove from it the status of an avela, put it into the camp of a trefa, that it's not mitame. So the Mishnah goes back and says that is not a good distinction between a non-kosher animal and an animal that is a trefa, because we do have examples of animals that are kosher, but they are trefas all the way from when they were born. So they never had a shas kosher. They never had a time that they were quote-unquote kosher because, for example, it was born with a birth defect. So what are you going to say then? The shechita is going to be effective to remove it from an avela? That should be just like a non-kosher animal. Just like a non-kosher animal, the shechita is not effective. So too, even a kosher animal, but it's a trefa from birth, the shechita should not be effective to remove it from its status of an avela. So that's what the Mishnah says. Tolecham Masheveso, and we'll just explain this based on the Bartanura, told me kan raya zo sheveta. Let's take for you this proof that you just brought. In other words, that proof that you just brought, let's use that to refute what you're saying. Hareshinolda trefa min habet and minayin. So where are you going to prove that if you have a kosher animal that's a trefa, it had a birth defect all the way back, where are you going to learn that the shechita should be effective to remove it from an avela? In fact, that's to be treated just like a non-kosher animal, that the shechita is not going to be effective. So now the Mishnah says, law, truth be told, we're going to bring another proof. And in fact, when it comes to a kosher animal that's a trefa, even from birth, we're going to find the distinction that a behema, tamei, a non-kosher animal, the shechita is not going to be effective on. But when it comes to an animal that's a trefa, whether the trefa, the defect, the injury happened later, or when it happened at birth, it doesn't matter. The shechita is going to be effective to remove that animal from the tumas nevela as follows. Im amarta bebehema tmeya shechein ein bemina shechita. When it comes to a non-kosher animal, shechita is irrelevant. Shechita never applies to any type of non-kosher animal. And accordingly, because of that, a non-kosher animal is not in the parsha to have a shechita on it. A shechita is not going to be effective on it no matter what. The shechita is not going to be effective to make the meat kosher. The shechita is not going to be effective to make the meat non-nevela. That meat is still going to be the status of nevela and is going to be metame. That has nothing to do with the case of an animal that is kosher, but it's a trefa. Whether the trefa is from birth or not, it doesn't matter. But a kosher animal, even though it's a trefa, is in the parsha of shechita, because kosher animals have shechita. Accordingly, because of that, well, we'll read it inside. First, Tomer b'trefa, shiit b'mina shechita. You want to say the same thing, that the shechita should be ineffective on a trefa? That's not the case, because when it comes to a trefa, we're talking about a kosher animal. When it comes to kosher animals, shechitas are effective to remove the animal from its nevela status. And accordingly, whether that kosher animal is a trefa, whether it's a trefa from birth or later on, it doesn't matter. Shechita is indeed going to be effective to remove that animal from the status of nevela. So we have just proven what our initial question was, minayin letrefa sheshechita tametarta. Where do we know that when we have an animal that's kosher, but it's a trefa, that shechita will remove it from being an avela? We have just proven the case. And the bottom line is, because We're talking about a kosher animal. And shechita is relevant to a kosher animal, even if that kosher animal turns out to be a treifa, even if it was a treifa from birth, that is all irrelevant. That shechita is going to remove it from being an avela, and it's going to be treated as a treifa, and it will not be mitame. Okay, now the Mishnah finishes off with a point. Now that we have seen this concept of when we have a treifa, the shechita removes it from being an avela, we have an exception to the rule. Maybe it's an exception, maybe it's not an exception, and in the following sense, we're going to talk about an animal that is a fetus from a cow, and instead of going for the entire 9-month gestation period, it is born early. So it talks about 8 months. So the fetus was born after 8 months, and al pi halacha, it is not considered a viable calf because it's too premature. And because of that, when this 8-month calf is born, it's considered dead. It's not considered a ben kayam, it's not considered viable, it's considered dead. And accordingly, because it's considered dead, it is going to be equated to a non-kosher animal. And just like a non-kosher animal, the shechit is not metarhet from being an avela, so too, when we have this ben shmona chai, we have this 8-monther, this calf, this preemie, it's alive right now, but halacha does not consider it to be viable, so it's considered dead. Ein shechitasu mitaras to. If you do a shechit on it, it's not going to be mitaher it from being an avela, lefin she'ein b'mina shechita, because even though this one happens to be alive, this is a category of animals, these preemies, that al pi halacha, they're not considered alive, and accordingly, that is in this 8-monther is not in the parsha of having a shechit on it. It's like a non-kosher animal, and accordingly, even if somebody does a shechita on this 8-month, or it will not remove it from the status of a nevela, and accordingly, it will be mitame. Mishnah Hay is the source for the halacha that when a mother has a child, a fetus inside of it, and a shechita is done on the mother, that the fetus does not require shechita. So the Mishnah says as follows, Hashochet esa behema, somebody does shechita on the mother, umatza ba ben shmonachai omeis, and finds within it a fetus that is 8 months into term, and the full term is 9 months for a calf. So it doesn't matter whether that fetus is alive or dead. As we said in the prior Mishnah, at the end of the prior Mishnah, a Chazal view that when you have a calf that is not full term, only 8 months, even if it's alive, it's considered not a ben kayam, it's not viewed as viable, so it's considered dead. Or ben tisha meis, or if inside, instead of finding that calf that is 8 months dead or alive, it finds a full term fetus inside, 9 months, but it is dead. In this situation, no shechita is required. If you had shechita on the mother, the shechita is not necessary for that fetus. However, there's an independent halacha that we have to be concerned about, not shechita, but not eating blood. So because of that, kora umotzi esdama, what you have to do, no shechita is required, but you have to tear open the fetus and you have to remove the blood because the blood cannot be eaten. That is the reisha. Now we are continuing to how about matzah ben tisha chai? What happens if you found inside it was a full-term baby, but it is alive? So now we're going to have a three-way machlokes. Is it really true that shechit is not necessary or not? So we're going to see the first opinion is Rebbe Meir. He's of the view because it is a full-term calf, so it's already independently viable. Accordingly, shechita is going to be required. It's not looked at now as if it's part of the mother. Before, in the ratio, we looked at the fetus, whether alive or dead, if it's 8 months or 9 months, if it's dead, we look at it as part of the mother, and accordingly, the shechita on the mother is effective for that of the fetus. However, if we have a full-term calf that is considered viable, accordingly, the shechit of the mother is not going to be effective for it. Accordingly, as follows, matzah ben tisha chai, if we find the full term alive, calf, ta'un shechita, shechita is required on the fetus as well, because the shechit of the mother is not effective. And actually, there's another halacha that's implicated here, mechayev ba'oso ve'esbeno, divrei Rebbe Meir, there's another halacha that you cannot shech the mother and its offspring in the same day. Accordingly, we already did shechita on the mother. When we do that shechita on the child, which according to Rebbe Meir is required, that shechita of the child cannot be done in the same day as the shechita was done in the mother. That is a lav in the Torah. So that is opinion number one. Opinion number two, when we're talking about a full-term live fetus found inside of the mother that shechita was done to, the chachamim omrim shechitas imo mitarato. The view of Chachami is that the shechita on the mother is effective for the full-term, even live, viable child because it's still on the inside. It hasn't been born yet, and accordingly, no shechita is necessary on a d'oraisa level on that fetus. However, Chachamim is of the view that Rabbanan did decree that a shechita is going to be necessary once that calf walks. Why would shechita be required on a rabbinic level if it's not required on a d'oraisa level? So people won't come to get confused, and if they see there's not a shechita being done on this animal, they're going to think shechita is necessary. They won't know that it's because this was a fetus that had shechita done to the mother. Accordingly, the Chazal instituted that once that fetus was full term, when the shechita on the mother was done and starts to walk, it came out, it starts to walk, that's when rabbinic shechita is going to be necessary. That's the opinion of Chachamim, opinion number two. Opinion number three, Rabbi Shimon Shezuri Omer, he's of the view, afilu shmone shanim v'choresh bashada. As long as we're talking about a full term child, a full term calf, that was taken out of the mother after the shechita on the mother, and it was a viable animal because it was alive still, so by definition it's viable, it's 9 months. Accordingly, Rabbi Shimon says, there is never going to be a requirement for shechita either on a d'oraisa level or a d'rabbanan level, to the extent that even if for this fetus is now, has grown up, it's 8 years old and it's now plowing in the field. Even in that situation, shechitas imo mitarato, the shechita on the mother is going to be effective. No shechita is necessary whatsoever. Rabbi Shimon Shezuri was not concerned that people will get confused and will come to eat their animals without shechita. We don't have that concern. He reverts to the d'oraisa halacha that when you have an animal, it doesn't matter the age, it doesn't matter viable, not viable, full term. According to Rabbi Shimon Shezuri, if you had the shechita on the mother, you are not going to be requiring shechita on its fetus, no matter what, even on a rabbinic level. Now, everyone would agree to the next statement in the Mishnah as follows, Kira'a umatza ba ben tisha chai. If there wasn't a shechita that was done on the mother, but it was torn open somehow, the mother was torn open, and then they found this full-term, 9 months, full-term, alive calf inside, here, taon shechita, here obviously that fetus would require shechita lefi shelo nishchata imo, because the mother did not have a shechita. If you don't have a shechita on the mother, then you need a shechita on the calf, on the fetus within, in order to permit it to be eaten. Mishnah Vav is a follow-on from the prior Mishnah. We're going to talk about if you have a limb, and we're going to talk in particular about the hind legs of an animal. We're not talking about when it had a fetus inside of it, but it's similar to the fetus in that we're talking about the hind legs that were somewhat severed, partially severed limbs of the animal, and talking about on the hind legs. At what point, when we have a shechita on the animal, are those severed, or that severed limb, is it going to be permitted as if it's part of the animal? Similar to the prior Mishnah that we talked about the fetus inside. So the fetus, it was permitted with the shechita in many of the situations we discussed. So too, when we're talking about a partially severed limb, will the shechita permit the eating of that limb as well, or only the main body of the animal, but not that partially severed limb? So before we get into the Mishnah, we'll talk a little bit about the anatomy of the back legs, the hind legs of a cow, on a high level. And there are different shechitas in this, but we'll just take the easiest path. They are divided, not like our legs, which are divided into two with a knee in the middle, but they're divided into three. So there's the bottom part, and then we have something that can fold, kind of like a knee, and then we have a middle part, and then we have another place that can bend, and then the top part. So it's divided into three with effectively two bends in the middle, kind of like our knees in the middle. So the Mishnah talks about two issues, and they're highly related. Issue number one is when we have a severed leg or broken leg or sinew severed, at what point does that animal become a trefa, such that even with a kosher shechita, it's going to be prohibited to eat the meat of the entire cow, because it's a trefa. And then we will go on to, even in a situation that it's not a trefa, but we still have a partially severed limb, in what situations will the shechita on the animal permit the eating of those limbs that are hanging, and when will they not be permitted? So we're going to start out in defining what is a treif and what is it not, as it is applies to partially severed limbs on that animal. So the behema shenechtecha raglecha min harkuva ulamata. So when we have this animal and it has severed, and ragla is referring to its hind leg. So there's a piece, a part of the hind leg that are severed from where? From the harkuva, which there's a machlokis what that means, but we'll take the definition of the lower joint, which means that, as we said, there are three parts of the leg: bottom, middle, and upper, and there's a joint between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3. So we're talking now about the bottom part of the leg before the below the lower joint. So the lowest part of the leg below the lower joint, effectively the lower knee. So that is where the animal has had its leg severed off. Kshera, it is going to be kosher, which means this is not going to be considered an animal that's a treifa. So when it has a kosher shechita, the meat on the animal can be eaten, obviously not the piece that was severed off, but it's going to be a kosher animal. Minar kuva lamala psula. However, if the sever of the leg was above that lower joint, so it's above that lower joint, so in the middle part of the leg or the upper part of the leg, that is all going to be a fatal injury, and accordingly, that animal is going to be a treifa, and the meat cannot be eaten even after a kosher shechita. The meat on the entire animal cannot not be eaten. And similarly, just like if the sever was from the upper joint, from that knee and above, how about if there wasn't a total sever in that middle area of the leg, but the sinews were removed there? So there are three main sinews that go in that middle part of the leg. So the Mishnah says, V'chein shenital tzomes hagidin, even if the bone is intact, but the tzomes hagidin, the sinews are removed from that middle part of the leg, that is also going to be a treifa, and the entire animal is a treifa. You're not going to be able to eat any of that animal, even after a kosher shechita. Now we're going to get into the question of how about if you have a severed limb, or excuse me, you have a partially severed limb in the bottom area. So as we mentioned before, even if the leg is severed in the bottom area, it's not going to make the animal treifa. So that is the area we're going to talk about, that we have a partial severed leg, partial severed limb in the bottom area, so it's not a treifa, but when you have the shechita, so the animal is going to be kosher, can you eat that partially severed limb? It's still somewhat attached, it's in the area that doesn't make it a treifa, so can that partially severed limb be eaten? So the Mishnah says as follows, nishbar ha'etzem, if we have a break in the bone in that bottom area of the leg, so the bone is breaking through, but it's still attached. How? Im rov habasar kayim, if the majority of the meat, so the skin and the meat, the majority of it is still intact, and that's why that limb is hanging on. Shechita sometarato, the shechita is going to be effective on that bottom limb that is partially severed as well, and it will be permitted to eat the meat not only of the animal is not a treifa, but you can eat of that lower partially severed limb as well, vimlav. However, if you don't still have the majority of the meat and the skin intact, holding on that broken bone, the bone is broken, it's the bottom part of the leg, not a treifa, but if you don't have the majority of the meat and the skin holding on to it, ein shechita sometarato, the shechita will not be effective to permit the eating of that partially severed limb. Certainly, as we said, it's talking about an animal that's not a treifa, because the issue that it has, the partial severance, even if we're a full severance, it wouldn't disqualify the animal, wouldn't make it a treifa because it's in the bottom part of the leg. So here we're just talking about, will the shechita be effective? And as we said already, the shechita will be effective as long as you have the majority of the meat and the skin holding that partially severed limb into its place. Mishnah Zayin discusses if there was a shechita in an animal and found inside an animal was an amniotic sac. And the question that we'll grapple with is, can that amniotic sac be eaten or not? Does the shechita on the mother permit the eating of that amniotic sac? and then we will take it into various details from there. So the Mishnah says as follows, Hashochet es habehema, the shechita was done on the mother, umatza bashilia, and the amniotic sac was found inside, nefesh hayafa tochlena, somebody who is not finicky is permitted to eat it. This is because shechita is no longer necessary, the shechita was done on the mother, so it's permitted to eat it. However, as a side point, the Mishnah comments, "Ve'ena metame lo tumas ochlin," because this amniotic sac is not considered to be food per se. We don't think of it as food because the majority of the people would not eat it. Accordingly, it would not be able to receive tuma as if it was food. There's certain things that can receive tuma. People can become tame. Food can become tame. Kleilin can be tame. However, because this shilia, this amniotic sac, is not considered to be food, it would not be a recipient of tuma. And in addition, because it's not considered meat, v'lo tumas nevelos, it's also not going to be having the status of nevela. If the mother died without a shechita, for example, it would not have the status of nevela. Now, just to build on this, we said that the shilia, this amniotic sac, because the majority of people do not eat it, it's not considered food, it cannot be a recipient of tuma like food can. However, chishev alev, an individual opted out and said, I am going to be eating it, or he thought, I'm going to be eating this amniotic sac. At that point, mitame tumas ochlim avalom tumas nevelos. At that point, because this individual said he's going to be eating it, for him is now considered food, it can become a recipient of the tuma, because now it's considered food. However, he doesn't make it into something that can be a nevela. He's made it into food. He doesn't make it into meat. It doesn't become meat, and accordingly, it is not considered a nevela. It wouldn't be a recipient of tuma like a nevela, or a transfer of tuma like an avela. Now we're going to go to the next, although similar scenario. We had the shechita on the animal, but the shilia, part of that sac, was already outside of the body. So shilia shiasta mikstasa. We have this amniotic sac, and part of it had already protruded from the mother. So in this situation, asura ba'achila, in this situation, it is not going to be permitted to eat the amniotic sac, and we're going to explain why. I'll explain it outside, and then we'll explain it inside. Because there's an amniotic sac, that is a siman, that is a sign, that is demonstrative that there was a fetus. It may have been, it may now be a dissolved fetus, but nonetheless, because that we see that sac, it's come out already, that is indicative that there is a fetus inside, even if it's dissolved. And accordingly, we are concerned that what may have come out with the sac is the head of the fetus on the inside. And if that is the case, if it's the head that came out, the dissolved head, but it's outside the body, the shechita of the mother, the shechita on the mother, would not permit the eating of that shilia, the eating of that amniotic sac. So the Mishnah says as follows, shilia shiasa miksasa. If we have part of that sac that's on the outside at the time the shechita on the mother is done, asura ba'achil, it's not permitted to eat it. Why? Siman vlad be'isha, when we have a woman, and she has a sac, an amniotic sac, that shows that she had a fetus. Accordingly, she's going to become tamea, as if she had a viable baby, because she was pregnant. So she's going to become tamea. And also, v'siman v'lad behema, it's also a sign not only in a human, but also in an animal. If you see that sac, it is a sign that there was a vlad, that there was a fetus inside. And accordingly, that raises our concern that if it was outside at the time of the shechita, accordingly, we are concerned that that sac has the head in it, and that was on the outside, so the shechita of the mother would not permit the eating of that amniotic sac. Continuing, a related issue, hamivakeres, we've seen this word before, it means that we have an animal that is pregnant with a bechor, that's the firstborn. If it's a male, it's given as a korban, and it's eaten by the kohanim, so upon birth, it is going to be holy. If it is a viable animal, however, what happens if this is the first time, it's the firstborn of the animal, but she pila shilia, instead of giving birth to a viable animal, a fetus came out. So in this situation, Is that sack going to have kedusha? And as we said before, it's possible that that sack is indicative of a dissolved fetus. Maybe it was a bechor. Maybe we have to treat it with sanctity. But the Mishnah tells us, no, you don't have to treat it with sanctity. Yashlichenu leklavim. You can even feed it to the dogs. Why is that? Because the majority of the time when an animal gives birth to a bechor, 50% of the time approximately, it's going to be female. So that's not a bechor. It's only the males that are bechor. And even if it's a male, there are certain times that it's going to be born with blemishes and defects that would keep it from having the sanctity of the bechor. So because of the majority of times we see that when there's a birth, it's not going to be sanctified as a bechor. So too in the situation where we have the shilia, this amniotic sac, and we don't know what was inside, we go after the majority, you can assume it wasn't a bechor, and you can even feed it off to the dogs. However, if we have that animal, uvamukdashim, if it's a, for example, a shlamim, was a korban shlamim, something that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash to be brought as a korban, it's still alive, it hasn't been brought as the korban yet, and it gives birth. And but what comes out? The shilia comes out. So we said that the majority of times when it's a bechor, you can be lenient. You can even feed it to the dogs. However, that's not the case with kodshim. And that's because when it comes to kodshim, the females would also be kadosh. For example, a korban shlamim can be from a male or a female. Accordingly, the majority of times that we have this amniotic sac come out, it's going to be that there was an animal inside, maybe dissolved fetus right now, but we would include the females as korbanos anyway, so we have to be machmir on this because it's going to have the status of hekdesh. The majority of the times it's going to be something that could have been brought as a korban. Accordingly, tikaver, it has to be buried. However, as a side point here, you have to be careful where you bury it. Vein kovrin osa b'parshas drachim, you're not allowed to bury it at the crossroads of the streets, crossroads. Vein tolin osa b'ilan, you also can hang it up in a tree, mibnei darkei amori, because that is the pagan ways, literally the ways of the amorim. That means that we can't do things that are intrinsically avodah zarah in nature, that are idolatrous in nature. And there was a belief among the non-Jews that if you had a miscarriage, if an animal had a miscarriage, in order to avoid that in the future, this was a superstition they had, so you would take that amniotic sac and either bury it at the crossroads or you would hang it on a tree. And because that is an idolatrous practice, we need to not do that.